Standing here, it's hard to imagine what Louis Van Dyne saw back in 1908. There was no lake, no sandy beaches, and no houses. In fact, there was nothing but acres of marshy forest and a few dirt roads. But with the coming of the railroad and the steady migration of a prosperous middle class from New York City, he knew that this land was ready to be developed. Van Dyne was a surveyor, and what he needed was a developer who shared his vision. He found one in Herbert J. Hapgood. Fresh from a smaller development in Shoreham, Long Island, Hapgood envisioned a residential park centered around two man-made lakes with roads that followed the contours of the land and houses built of local materials which would be harmonious with the natural beauty of the area. He called his residential park Mountain Lakes. He had the good fortune of having a wealthy father-in-law to back his ventures. The development of Mountain Lakes was an initial success, but by 1922, Hapgood was bankrupt and on the run. He had expanded his business on credit and suffered mightily with an ill-fated road construction project on a section of Route 46. Hapgood died in 1929 in Australia. But his town lived on, and its lakes quickly became the recreational center of the growing community. In the summer, early residents enjoyed swimming, boating, and fishing. Sunday afternoon sailing races on the big lake, Mountain Lake, were a highlight of the week. In the winter, ice skating, hockey, and curling were popular. In fact, the Mountain Lakes curling team won the state championship in 1939. The lakes even provided the backdrop for a little childish flirtation. Lawrence Browning recollects, like many other local children growing up in Mountain Lakes before the Depression, spending a good bit of time in a canoe. He says, "A few times I paddled the canoe through the little lake and the connecting canal to school, where I made a big impression on the girls." The borough is now home to a chain of 9 man-made lakes covering roughly 162 acres. These include the major lakes, Mountain, Wildwood, Birchwood, Crystal, and Sunset, and 4 smaller lakes, Olive, Shadow, Cove, and Reservoir, or Grundon's Pond. As Browning mentioned, these bodies of water are connected through a series of canals, which allow the water to flow from one body to the next, filling those areas that are not spring-fed. These connecting waterways were covered with bridges and stonework, or left as natural brooks to complement the beauty of the area. Initially, the lakes lacked sandy beaches. The first swimming havens were both private. One of the draws of the Mountain Lakes Club was its sandy beach. Town residents also flocked to a second beach at the intersection of Kenilworth and Glen Roads on Wildwood Lake. This was developed by Pop Leonard, who lived at 45 Briarcliff Road. In 1927, the town acquired the land at the foot of Tower Hill Road, directly across Mountain Lake from where you stand. And ever since, Island Beach has been a popular family swimming spot. Because the lakes are man-made, they've been stocked over the years, to the delight and frustration of fishermen seeking bass, trout, pickerel, catfish, perch, and sunfish. The annual trout stocking and trout derby began in 1962 and continue today, with the borough children filling Birchwood with trout on a Friday in April and fishing them out on Saturday. Another long-standing lake tradition is the Independence Day fireworks display. The fireworks weren't as spectacular as they are today, but it was wonderful, says Carol Diane Shute Noble, who moved to Mountain Lakes in 1944. In those days, homeowners on Mountain Lake were given flares, which they arranged along the shoreline. At a signal, all the flares were lit. The lake glowed at the waterline, and the fireworks began blasting off Island Beach. But it hasn't always been fun and games at the lakes. In the summer of 1917, all use of the lakes was halted until Colonel Clarence W. Smith's pet alligator was captured and returned to its pen. After introducing its first town beach, the next big development came in the late 1930s, when the town purchased 250 acres of woodlands around Birchwood, Crystal, and Sunset Lakes, thus greatly expanding the town and the lake system. In the late 1940s, the swimming lanes and diving facilities were built at Birchwood. Known collectively as the Upper Lakes, They were created by the Fox Hill Ice Company from 1893 to 1905 to produce ice for domestic ice boxes. Throughout the winter, the ice was sawed into blocks and packed into ice houses adjacent to Birchwood and Crystal Lakes. In warmer months, the ice was shipped out via train along a company-built spur line. Of the upper lakes, Birchwood was created last. And while the other lakes filled nicely from springs, streams, or runoff, Birchwood did not. In order to fill the lake, water was pumped from Crystal Lake with a steam-driven pump. Only once since has Birchwood needed a mechanical assist. After a very dry summer in 1960, a town fire engine tapped into Crystal Lake to refill Birchwood. The town dealt with the more pressing issue of water quality in 1975 by replacing the existing system of septic tanks and cesspools with a modern sewer system. Today, the greatest threat to our lakes comes from algae buildup, fouling by birds, and pollution from road chemical runoff and fertilizer. Helping to keep our waters clean today are two key measures: a mandate requiring phosphate-free lawn fertilizers, and a ban on feeding the geese. Head back up Lake Drive, turn left, and then right onto Dartmouth Road, and stop at the base of the driveway at 46 Dartmouth.